I was working in the hardware department in the store I'm employed by. And about quitting time, another guy comes in and asks how I was doing. And I said, well, pretty good, my typical answer. And then I said that, you know, it was about quitting time. I just wish it was my last day so I could, you know, retire. And then I mentioned that maybe I was just wishing my life away. And he said, well, I wouldn't say that. He goes, it's just that you're looking for a better time. And I got to thinking, you know, he's right. I am looking for a better time. Maybe even more than he might realize. We are doing this every time we pray. You know, the kingdom come. Because we're longing for the time that God's will is done. And this is what all the holy days ultimately represent. The return of Christ and a better world for all mankind. The people in the New Testament church also eagerly looked forward to the time we are longing for today. They thought it was imminent, and indications are each generation has felt it would come in their lifetime. When you analyze where we are today, you realize the prophecies of the gospel teachings, all the the gospel reaching all the world and the possibility of erasing all life that Christ spoke of in Matthew 24 could not happen before our current time. The messages we speak today now have the possibility of being far-reaching, even around the entire world as a witness. It is possible for something to be happening halfway around the world and everyone to be able to watch it at the same time. There was never a time before the two witnesses to be lying dead in the streets and the whole world to see and rejoice. If you'll turn to Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verses 7 through 10. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. Verse 8, and their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. In verse 10, and those who dwell on earth will rejoice over them, making merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Isn't it somewhat mind-blowing that we are now in a time where every tribe, tongue, and nation could witness this at the same time? Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, points out that the faithful all through time have lived their lives looking to the same time we are looking toward. If you'll turn to Hebrews 11 and read verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him of the same promise. In verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We'll skip down to verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And if they had called to mind that country which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and for he has prepared a city for them. We are seeking the same homeland, and God is not ashamed to be called our God. So are we just wishing our lives away? We are spending this life in preparation for the calling to be kings and priests, and a part of that coming world government of peace. That is our ultimate goal and our main reason for living. But that does not mean we withdraw and have no influence on the here and now. Abraham took 300 of his men to rescue the king of cities around him and his nephew Lot. He did not just sit back and say, God's will be done. He was blessed for taking action. Just think, we will get to know Abraham and all the other patriarchs of the Bible that paved the way before us. We will get to work under the direction of Jesus Christ as we restore the world, as we restore the world to its intended purpose. All the loved ones throughout the age of man will be resurrected and given a chance to know what we know now. Those who lost their loved ones through war at a young age, those who perished in the flood, and those who died from disease or who took their own lives because the life felt so hopeless to them, God still knows them. He has not forgotten even one, and they will live again. Each day of the holy days has a meaning and a purpose. Our hearts rejoice with the present, that the present evil age will have an end to it. These days that we celebrate are a tiny foretaste of the joy for all of mankind when evil will be bound. If you'll turn to Isaiah 11, we'll read 6 through 9. Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, the young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play in the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the seas. We are not wishing our life away. We still enjoy what time we have here and now. But life has a greater purpose than just the temporary pleasures we are enjoying here today. We are practicing the government of God and living under the laws that will ensure peace for all of mankind. What does that ultimately mean? No more young men dying in war before they even start their life. No more babies being murdered before they reach the time of birth. No more despotic governments murdering their own citizens. The list goes on and on. Who do you look forward to seeing again? Some of us have lost spouses, parents, children, close friends. And we want to be there when they're resurrected. We will see Jesus face to face along with David, Daniel, Joseph, the apostles. The list goes on and on. There is one person I really look forward to seeing again. I eagerly look to the time when I can be there to welcome back my cousin, who died young, and tell him of his potential. We were the same age and were best friends. We didn't know anything about the truth found in the Bible. We didn't know much of the truth. I mean, we were only 16 years old. Wouldn't you like to know who the modern-day descendant of the Reckonbites, they honored their ancestor generations later by not drinking alcohol. God does not make these idle promises. And in Jeremiah 35:18, Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandments of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab and the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever." This is how serious God is about honoring our parents, but it also shows that not one person escapes his attention or is ever forgotten. In that time to come, everyone will have their vine and their fig tree, their own little piece of paradise, and all will learn the truth that we know today about our ultimate purpose and destiny. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk. No more crippling diseases of minds hampered by being damaged through drugs or illness. God's Spirit will be poured out liberally, and with it will also come the healing of people's minds. Soon we will be worshiping on the day of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the New Testament church. We are an extension of that beginning on the day of Pentecost and are the first fruits, but the day is coming when the Holy Spirit will be readily available to all of mankind. The book of Joel goes into much detail about the time of great trouble ahead for us, but then it speaks of an exodus even greater than the first one. Israel will be gathered from all the nations where it has been scattered and brought back to their homeland. You don't need to turn there, but Joel 2:28, it says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Satan will no longer be able to influence mankind to be so heartless toward their fellow man. As we see our world descending into the time of darkness and tribulation, we are wishing for the time when it will all be restored. Hold fast, and all the more fervently we must pray, "Thy kingdom come."